I'd like to start by introducing a neat family that has moved into our community and have been in our church a few times. And so I would like to invite Devin and Lynn Atchison and their daughter Kaylee to come up front, if you would, and tell us a little bit about yourselves. Yes. So glad to have you in our community. Could you tell us a little bit about where you came from and what brought you to Linden?
Sure. First of all, happy Mother's Day to everybody in here. So my wife and we've been together now 17 years married, almost 20 years together. I have a 12-year-old daughter, Kaylee, and we're from Ontario. We moved from Ontario just about a year ago now to come out to Linden. We were out here a few years ago, and then went back and realized how much I missed this town. So, I guess what I wanted to, do you want me just kind of, you want to ask me questions, or you want me to say what I was going to say?
You're ready to go, say what you're going to say.
So anyway, he came over a couple weeks ago and asked me to speak, and about 25 minutes ago, I figured out what I was going to say. So there's three things that really changed in our lives, I'd say, this year. So I'm 43 years old, and I was a guy that at a very young age, no education, put my head down and worked, and that's all I did. I went from a laborer with Canadian Pacific Railway to running the whole fleet, Canada and U.S., with no education. But there was a sacrifice that I did by doing that, is I never seen this little girl grow up. So, I guess there's a little lesson I want to talk about this morning. There is just, I see a lot of young faces. Don't make mistakes thinking that you need big boats, big cars, big houses. I did that. And it didn't make these two happy. You know, we had everything, but we didn't have things that truly made us happy. And when I moved to this town, I got a whole different view of that. I'm not in the corporate world anymore. Some of you may know I'm managing the propane plant down the street there. I've met some really great people, got some great employees, and it's not that big corporate life, but it's way more fulfilling. I have time to spend with my wife and daughter now. I don't even know how to describe it, but this town has done a lot for us. And then there's another thing I went through at 43 years old. It's a program called Choices. Best way I could describe it is it's a personal development program on steroids. And that was from Christine that helped me with that one this morning. But again, it just tied in everything that you guys in this community did and the church has done, that stop living in the bottom of an hourglass. There's nothing we can change in life. If you live in that bottom of the hourglass, nothing's ever going to change in your life. And I feel this town, the program that I went through, has now got me living in that little narrow part of the hourglass. You can't live in the top, and you don't want to live in the bottom, but it's been really good, and I want to thank everybody here.
Devin, just right. We're so glad that you're in our community. Devin, Lynn, and Kaylee. Kaylee plays on my soccer team, and she is a brave, determined forward, very fun to watch. So we're just glad that you're here. Welcome here, Atchison.
Thank you very much.
Another kind of introduction I wanted to do. They've been here longer, but they, you may not know them very well, but they have just proven themselves to be wonderful, wonderful servants, helping out wherever they can. And so I just felt it'd be fun to have them up on the stage so you can meet them. So I'm going to call up Alec and Aaron Siemens. I made a list of questions, and they're over there. Warren, could you just run them up for me, please? Here you go. All right, here we go. Tell us a little about where you came from and what brought you to Linden MB Church.
Well, we were most recently living in Surrey, BC. Alec and I were both living like very comfortable lives and Like, he was comfortable in his job, and I was comfortable. We had a comfortable house, and in our comfort, our needs were being, like, well beyond met, and life was good. But we started feeling this call out of our comfort and into a life of uncertainty. So, yeah, we started to feel that that might be a call into ministry. We wanted to obey God and let him be the author of our lives, so we decided to obey that call and quit our jobs and came to Alberta. So Alec is a Mennonite, so we wanted to keep... We wanted to keep some comfort, so this is the closest Mennonite church, that's why we're here, and it helps that our friends Carrie and Steph are here. So, yeah, that's...
Now, you're studying at Prairie. What are you studying, and why did you choose that?
I'm studying pastoral ministry there, doing the four-year degree. It's definitely not where I think I wanted to be called to, but I think that happens a lot. You're called somewhere, you feel very uncomfortable. And so originally I was thinking doing more like worship ministry, but just even over the last 2 years that we've been married, I've just been feeling a deeper call that I should go beyond that and into a pastor role, and to lead pastor role or associate pastor or whatever kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Yeah.
Aaron, you're studying too, though, right?
Yes. So I wasn't planning on being a student. I was, like, going to be our backup plan. I had a great career in EMS, and I loved it, and then started, like, feeling this, oh, maybe I need to surrender my comfort, too. So I kind of was like, well, I need to support Alec in his call into being potentially a pastor, and I'm kind of, like, broadening our horizons, and so I'm taking the youth ministry program. And I love youth, that's also why, so it's not just for fun. So yeah, I think that's...
Do you have a ministry that you dream of ending up in? You kind of said something about it, but the question's there.
Yeah, the question's there. The doors are, I think, very open to, like, at this point, I'm not quite sure where we're going to be after I graduate in a few years here. In that uncertainty, there's comfort too. So it's like doors are open. There are different possibilities. If that's like in a worship role, or if that's in a lead pastor role, like it's yeah, doors are open, and it's like comforting not really knowing where that's going to lead.
All right, tell us something interesting about yourself that we wouldn't know in any other way.
Okay. Well, you would find out eventually, but it's kind of like fitting for Mother's Day. We're going to have a baby. So.
That's fantastic. I don't know how you can beat that, so I'm just going to go on the next question here. How can we pray for you?
You could pray for us in guidance to figure out where we're actually like called to. And prayer for God's continued provision and for what our next year is going to look like.
Yeah, let me do that right now. Lord Jesus, we lift up to you Alec and Aaron and the baby on the way, and pray that you would take good care of all of them, and just pray that they would be very sensitive to where you are guiding them, and that they would go where you point, and that they would find blessing in it. Lord, thank you for how they have submitted themselves to you. Just pray that you would honor them for it. Provide for them. Being a student is not easy financially, and just pray that they would not worry about it and that you would give them all that they need. Amen. Thank you. Aaron's mom, Lori, is here, so why don't you just give a wave right there. Welcome here, too. All right, another neat couple is Alex and Jenny. So I'm going to call them up. And I don't have any questions for you, but I just would like you to talk for a while. Tell us how you are doing.
That seems a bit too spontaneous for me. You want to go first?
Go ahead.
Okay. So some of you might know me. My name is Alex Peters. I went to school here in Linden. I grew up here. I went to high school. Graduated, went to Vancouver. And now I've been in town and away and back again. So some of you might know me. Some of you probably, I'm a fresh face to you. But just two things we wanted to talk about is just what God's been doing in our life in the past year. So Jenny and I met online a year ago.
Oh, dear.
And I know. I don't like to admit that, but it's, you know, is what it is. No, just kidding. It's been two things. Talking about what's happened in my life in the past year, two things have been really important to me. One, I got engaged to Jenny here. And the second thing was I started going to law school this past year. So meeting Jenny has been such a blessing to me and such an answer to prayer in my life. I always wanted to meet a godly woman, someone who would keep me on track. I feel the world is constantly drawing our attention to things that are not that important and not that worthwhile, and I'm very susceptible to that. So to have Jenny in my life who's constantly reeling me in, pointing me in the right direction, and is that encouragement is such a blessing. It's an answer to prayer. It's been amazing. So, and the second thing that happened was going to law school, and it was a very, very challenging year. It was rigorous and demanding, but I love the law. I'm enjoying it so much, and this last month has been incredible in the sense that I'm seeing where God's starting to lead in a career in law. All my daily interactions, people I meet, it seems you tell someone that you're a law student, you're studying law, and suddenly they have a legal issue. Something's wrong, and they need it fixed. And my heart is to help those people. And you see these people, and they're people that don't have money, and unfortunately the legal profession, in my opinion, cares more about money than helping people, and to its detriment. And I feel that where God is calling me in the law is to speak to those lawyers. In Canada, in Alberta, lawyers have a monopoly on practicing law, and I think that comes with the responsibility to provide work and services to people who can't afford it. And I see so many people that need help and in areas that we can serve, and it's really exciting. So. In that respect, I offer this kind of broad invitation to you. When you see people, when you need people who need legal services, you can send them my way. If they, you know, I don't want to do it for money. I want to help people, and you know, I don't have all those connections out there. So, if people meet people, consider me a resource where you can send someone who needs some help in that respect. So. Anyways, it's been an answer to prayer. It's been incredible, and God's been very good. So, anyways, that's me.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jenny. Basically, I've come to know this church because of Alex. Had never even heard of Linden before I met him. So, it's great that he introduced me, and I love being a part of this church and this community. So, kind of what I want to talk about today is. Sorry, not about you at all, but I was kind of thinking and praying, you know, what do I feel like God wants me to share today? And one thing just kept coming to my mind over and over again, and it's a journey that is very personal to me, and one that I have been on, I would say, at least over the last one or two years. There's a lot of things that God has been working on in my life, but this is one of the bigger ones. And so one of the things I wanted to share today was about what does it mean to really belong, and what does it really mean to be a part of a community and to be a part of a church and a part of a home. And I think especially getting engaged this year, like this is a very prominent and a very big question. So it has been a challenging journey for me. And I've come to learn over the years that a lot of it is about, it's about being vulnerable, and it's about being genuine and learning what that looks like in different settings in your life. And for me, it's been very hard. My background is German. You've probably I've heard that people pick up on my accent pretty quick. So Germans are known to be very private and not really share a lot about their lives. So I've kind of had to learn how to step out beyond that. And I think that even our culture doesn't really encourage that. I grew up in a very close community, in a Hutterite community. Some of you are aware of that, some of you are not, but they are. There's parts of their lives that are very open. Everybody knows about it. So going out from that into Canadian culture, it was a difficult journey for me learning what that looks like. And I guess I'm learning what it means to be genuine and authentic in a community that I am maybe not always comfortable with, or people that I'm not always comfortable with. And so, so 2 years I've kind of been working on figuring out what that looks like. And I felt like I was just starting to get the hang of it and just starting to be able to wrap my mind around it. And I remember this one day I can't even remember exactly what I was doing, if I was praying or doing devotions or something. And I felt like God asked me this question. And I don't know if it's the same for everybody, but usually when God tries to point something out to me, he doesn't point at it and say, oh, this is wrong. He asks questions. And it's the questions that really point deep and convict us deeply. And so one day I felt like God was asking me, Jenny, what do you think it looks like to be vulnerable and genuine with me? And it was a very shocking question for me, because I feel like, I know my life has been, I've been very blessed and have been very, had a very close relationship with God my whole life. And so the fact that he was asking me this, I was quite shocked. I think there's a lot of disbelief there, and just being like, why do you feel like our relationship is not at a place where you feel like you have to ask that question, if that makes sense? And once I got past that, I kind of started to ponder it a little bit. And I had to ask myself, if I want to be vulnerable with God, then I have to be able to ask the questions that I think we often hear about, but we never really ask ourselves. And it's questions like, especially growing up in the church, I think we kind of start to do things out of habit. It's like, why do I go to church every Sunday? And why do I pray? And why do I go to Bible study? And honestly, I'm still working through it, and I'm still trying to figure out the answer to these questions and trying to figure out what it means to be intentional within a community. And I don't know if anyone else here feels the same. If you do, someone that I would highly recommend reading, I don't know if you've ever heard of Brené Brown, but she talks a lot about being vulnerable and being courageous and brave in your workplace or in your community. So I just wanted to end with this quote from her that I think is very applicable. It's a little long, so bear with me, but I think it's really good. So it says, "True belonging is not passive. It's not the belonging that comes with just joining a group. It's not fitting in or pretending or selling out because it's safer. It's a practice that requires us to be vulnerable, get uncomfortable, and learn how to be present with people without sacrificing who we are. If we are going to change what is happening in a meaningful way, we are going to need to intentionally be with people who are different from us. We're going to have to sign up and join and take a seat at the table. We're going to have to learn how to listen, have hard conversations, look for joy, share pain, and be more curious than defensive, all while seeking moments of togetherness." So I'm learning that now in the process.
Thanks so much, Alex and Jenny. That was really well said. Thank you. Yes, we will sign you up for legal stuff, and we'll sign up Jenny for speaking. All right, I have two more, and Yasmin asked if she could come up and say something, so I'm going to call her next, and then we will send... Yes, we'll start with Yasmin.
Hello, everyone. Okay, maybe someone, they know me, some not. I'm Yasmin from Syria. I have been here in London 2.5 years. And I need to share my story about to come to Canada. It was a very hard time there with the war. It's been a very dangerous life to be there. And we choose to move from Syria to any country. We are not thinking about Canada. We moved to Lebanon, and we have been there 6 months. And again, we start to thinking we need to move because in Lebanon is not good for the children and not good for the future. We thinking who can help to we can move. We have our cousin, he's the father, he's the pastor. He's helping so many people to move from Syria. And he is helping us to come to here. We didn't know, we didn't think where we are coming, where, who is this people? What we can talk in with this people, how? Because we have a different language. How we can learn the culture, how we can learn many things is new for us. We just close our eyes, we make a step. We came to here. It was a very hard time. We are was in an airplane. We're thinking, okay, we are now in an airplane. We are flying, coming for the new country, but we didn't know who's this people, who's this, where we are coming, we didn't know. We came to airplane at airport. It was Michael and a couple of people, they are waiting for us. And they are start talking with us in English. And okay, we didn't understand anything. And I was say merci. And I said, oh, this is a word from French. And I said, okay, I will be saying now thank you. Because we didn't know any English. And we are believe is God, he's working. And in the same day we came, it was Saturday. And Sunday we came to this church. We saw the people, how they are, love us, and they are glad we are, because we are came to here. And but we didn't understand anything is what happened around and what is people they are thinking about us. But we did. We are now talk a little bit English. We are have a job. We are like doing like not like not every Canadian is doing, but we are coming to be a Canadian, coming to be a same anyone of here. We believe is the God is working for us. Yeah.
Thanks, Yasmin. That was wonderful. We do have a special event this morning in that we have with us Bill Gates. And it's been a long time since he's been able to come to church, but he was able to come this morning. And so I'm just going to, he would like to greet us. And so I'm bringing you a microphone. There we go.
I would like to begin by expressing my deep appreciation to any and all of you who have prayed for us during our lengthy time of health challenges. We just want to say thank you so much and God bless you. And I must also publicly thank my family, especially my dear wife Joyce, for their support during this difficult time. Just over a year ago, I developed on my right foot a pressure ulcer, which became infected, was very painful, and made it very difficult to walk. This resulted finally in surgery last August, which included the removal of my right toe. Healing from the surgery was very slow, and the amputation of my foot was a possibility. My situation was complicated when in mid-September I suffered a TIA, that's a minor stroke, resulting in my hospitalization. These two developments, coupled with the fact that I have prostate cancer, meant that I was in a very bad way. When the healing of the surgery continued to be slow, it was discovered that I had poor circulation to my feet as a result of a blocked vein in my thigh. I had surgery to correct that, and the pace of healing improved, though I was told it would probably be a year for it to fully heal. But the fact that the circulation of blood made a difference is an illustration of both a biblical and a medical principle. The life is in the blood. Now, as Christians, we know that eternal life is ours as a result of the shedding of Christ's blood when he died on Calvary as our substitute. Revelation 1:5 says that unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The life is in the blood. And I believe that my experience is an illustration of that fact. In late November, after very little general improvement in my condition, Pastor Mark Goodman from the Wimborne Lions Church, where I've often spoken, and one of his godly elders came to pray for me and anoint me with oil as directed in James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. That scripture says this: Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Because of my Alliance background and the fourfold gospel, Christ our Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King, I was very grateful for their ministry to me. Now, I can't prove this scientifically, but I firmly believe that following that prayer and anointing, the Lord began healing me, because from that day onward, right up to the present, I have slowly but steadily improved health-wise. I was discharged from hospital about a month later, just the Saturday before Christmas, after 3.5 months in hospital. I continue to recover at home, steadily regaining my strength through physio and exercise. And by the way, I do want to acknowledge the role that the medical profession, doctors, nurses, and physiotherapists have played in my recovery. But I also observe that healing comes from the Lord. As Dr. Riedek, well-known doctor from Three Hills, says, I treat my patients, but God does the healing. Since I've been home, I've been thankful for the opportunity to read about a dozen books and booklets, including Randy Alcorn's 500-plus page book entitled Heaven. Some might think I'm cramming for my finals. Just last week, I finished Ray Stedman's book, Let God Be God, which is his study on the book of Job. I found it to be very helpful because, like most folk, I've been tempted to ask why concerning the period of difficulty and trial that I've experienced. Stedman wisely points out that the book of Job demonstrates that suffering in the life of a godly person is a way of allowing God to prove that Satan is a liar and a cheat. Satan claims that we human beings serve God only out of self-interest, what we can get out of it. So when Christians continue to love and serve God, even in the depths of their suffering, they prove that Satan is a liar. He also points out that another theme to emerge from Job is that even in our sufferings, the character of God never changes. Though we may not be able to fully understand, God remains who he is, a God of power, wisdom, and love. And it seems to me that this truth is well expressed in the gospel song, The God of the Mountains, which some of you may know, in which the songwriter says, "The God of the mountain is still God in the valley. The God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is the God of the night." And certainly an aspect of the truth that God's character doesn't change in our suffering is also found in the hymn, "How Firm a Foundation." Stanza 2 says, "When through fiery trials thy path may we lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame will not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine." So I want to thank and praise the Lord for his goodness, and again thank those of you who have prayed, and I'm also grateful for the opportunity to share this word of testimony. Thank you. God bless you, especially mothers today.
And if I could just add to that, Chris, mm-hmm. I'm Brenda Peters. My husband and I are from Calgary, and I just have been blessed in being here today, hearing everyone's journey and their stories of intimacy and walk with God. And I do want to thank this community for the support you have given my dad and my mom during this time, because on behalf of our family, we're spread all across Canada, and it's been really encouraging to see the prayers that have gone up and also the physical and kind acts of food and notes and cards of encouragement. So that's been incredible, and so keep that up. Whoever else is sick in here, just I hope they benefit from that as well. And I do agree that, you know, when we do go through really difficult times, it is a chance to really prove that God is who he is. He's trustworthy, no matter what you go through. And it's neat to hear Jasmine's story coming all the way from Syria. Like, he's God over there, and he's the God here. And I just really love him and want to go deeper with him, because there's no end to him. He's limitless. And no matter what you go through, he is just so faithful. He's trustworthy. And he is an absolute God of love and power. So I wasn't going to share, but I just felt I needed to thank you all and just give a word of absolute praise to our mighty God.
Thank you, Brenda. Yes, thank you, Brenda, and thank you, Bill. I mean, that was a sermon in which you lived out every word in that firsthand, and that just makes it mean all the more. And I hope you picked out what a significant thing it is, a big deal for Bill to be with us this morning. It was last September that he went into hospital, and here it is in May, and he's back with us, and you look good. You look good, so welcome here. Well, I'm trapped between two promises. The one promise is that give opportunity for people to share, and the other is that I promised Sunday school teachers that I wouldn't go too long during the service. So I wondered if we could do two or three people, and then we will close with a song. Is there a couple people who would like just to ask for the mic and share? Yes. Are they behind me. I got one.
Okay. I have my surgery, and it seems to be working, and the pain in my back is slowly going away. So that is a huge reduction in my pain pills. I was diagnosed about 3 months ago with emphysema on top of my cancer, lucky me, dumb and smoking. And on the 4th of May, I went and seen a respiratologist, and they told me very kindly that there was a medicine and a treatment that was very expensive that my benefits didn't cover, but my partner's did. And I'm going to take that treatment, and once a month I will go there in Calgary and take that, so I can now continue going back to Edmonton, and I do not have to go back on chemotherapy, which I was so scared I would have to. And I can continue with gene therapy. And it's less invasive. There's more promises. And your prayers have been so helpful and so grateful for me and my family. that it's amazing. And I just want to say thank you so very much.
Oh, thank you, Pamela. So glad you got good news. Yes. Let's keep praying for Pamela. One other? Yes. Wait. Yes. No, we need both of you.
I could probably fill an hour, so I'll try and keep it to 5 minutes. First of all, I want to say thank you to Pastor Chris and Pastor Carrie for being there for my family in my absence. I owe Pastor Chris an apology. Early on in my 2-year journey, I turned my back on Pastor Chris and a little bit on God. Pastor Chris was trying to help me through some rocky waters, and I just shut down. And I didn't want to talk to anybody, and I felt sorry for myself and hid in my little man cave in Abbotsford, B.C. But before I left, I was really deep into the parables and all the wisdom that could be found there. And I feel like James, the start of my journey, I was excited, and I stepped out of the boat, and like James, I sank like a stone. And during the 2 years, God has shown me all the weeds in the soil of my faith, and some of them are dead now, and some of them are dying, and some are still growing. But I think that's an ongoing process for most of us. Getting those weeds out of our garden is just part of the experience and the journey of our lives, and now I feel like the prodigal son. Where I've returned to my home and my community, and I'm just so happy and blessed to have so many good friends and family that have supported me over the last few years, and had a lot of good experiences in BC, sowed some seeds, I think some fruit was born, and just really excited to be back and a part of this church family again, and again, I just want to thank everybody.
Amen. Thanks, brother.
I know you're going to be looking at your watches, so I'll make this short. I'm Elaine Schultz, and for those of you who don't know, and for the last year and a half, I was kind of dealing with some health things, and what was going to do that? But anyway, it's just all wonderful because you have been praying for me, and they had a spot of my lung, and it was growing, and they just did a PET scan to see if I had cancer. Or I say to say that I didn't have cancer, and it came back. I do not have cancer, and I asked if the spot was growing, and they said they couldn't find the spot. So I just want you to all know prayer works, and thank you very much to my church family.